universe. Tough stuff, but can be fascinating. And the other person commented. He said, "Hey Theo." He said he has this formula. Then he asked, "Does this formula make sense?" Actually, it's Einstein's formula, E equals mc squared. But somebody defined speed of light, c, differently for him. He said space over time, square. Then after that, time is made out of non-time element. He from that juggling. Then one of the classmates say, "You have forgotten your theoretical physics." LOL, laugh out loud. Because c equals speed of light, but the other guy go and change it to space over time. Then I say, I reply, because the person who say need to read some of his book. The one I'm trying to read is I'm the Universe, tough stuff, but can be fascinating. Then I reply, I say, yes, can be fascinating, because it can lead to the unfolding of the mystery of mind and consciousness. So that's the part they cannot understand. Then I replied to the E equals mc squared. I said, C should be speed of light, 168,000 miles per second. E equals the energy. So mass or matter is trapped energy, like I explained to you all before. By deduction, therefore, thought, which is mental energy, is actually matter. Then this one stimulates a lot of things. Somebody said, yesterday I found in my old stack of book this brief history of time by Stephen Hawking, a very brilliant fellow. I said, yes, Stephen Hawking is very good. And I love that book too, read it long ago. Then another one read this Deepak Chopra book. He said, another one on consciousness from Deepak Chopra includes some thoughts from Planck. Planck is a physicist, a very good physicist. Then he sent this out. Then I read to you what this book wrote. He said, what would it take for totally new thinking to take hold? Means they already discovered many things that they cannot understand. So they have to come up with new understanding, new thinking, is it? The journey begins with the psychological aspect of reality, which von Neumann called essential. Seconding him are an array of eminent physicists from the beginning, discovery of the quantum era. Max Planck was abstinent, and he said, reality at the bottom of it involves consciousness. Actually, this guy is very good. And he puts it, all matter originates and exists only by virtue of a force. We must assume behind this force the existence of a conscious and intelligent mind. This mind is the matrix of all matter. See? He knows all matter arises from mind. Then this means that lumps of matter are no longer floating over there, like snowflakes that fall from the sky and collect on your collar, coat collar. But rather, matter is embraced in the same matrix that holds thought and dream. So he knew element, matter, are correlated to thought and dreams. And Planck believed that mind is even more basic than matter, and is expressed with total clarity here. He said, I regard consciousness as fundamental, means the most important, the fundamental. I regard matter as derivative from consciousness. In this aspect, he is very good. Everything that we talk about, everything that we regard as exists, postulate consciousness. He also knows, without consciousness, nothing exists. That's why I say, Master Buddha, mind is a forerunner of all things. Eh? Then after that, I replied to him. I said, thank you for this sharing, Morgan. He's a Hindu, Indian. I said, Plank is not bad, because finally he realized that thought and matter are in fact the same. But he still can't understand how, from the pure consciousness, both thought and matter can arise. To understand this, you need to understand the pure consciousness and the true mind. We are awareness-based meditation, which is not thought-based. Yeah. So this part, I think, will help them a lot. Then with that, the discussion ends. Yeah. So it can be something that is useful, food for thought. I hope to maybe cut and paste. Then I'll put it as a WhatsApp that I send out, then you all can maybe also go through and benefit from it. Okay, now we will start our puja. Today we already exceeded 10 minutes. So after I cut short your meditation by 10 minutes. Okay, we will get ready for puja. So today we get some new people to come and light the candle. Okay, Adeline, your daughter and you. Then brother Chai's brother. Then Chai Chai and your girlfriend. Not girlfriend, sorry. Your mom. Asu, lai. Come, six of you. Asu, lai. New Zealand Sue. We got a Kiwi Sue. Come. Help to light the candle and the incense. Anyone, so there are seven of them. You can light the candle next to your mom. Yeah. Come. You like this one. Eh? I already told her to light that one. You like this one. Otherwise, she got no candle to light. Chai Chai, that one. Your mom got one more here. Where's your mom? Mimi. Naga Sijian Money for. Come. Yeah, sadhu. Okay, sadhu. Okay, let us start the puja. Song. Sadhu, 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 the lamp. Sadhu, 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 sadhu,
Sadhu. 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 Okay, we offer the rest of the item. Sadhu. 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 Okay, you all can be seated. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, the virya, then mindfully we shall commence chanting. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho. Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of your chanting book. Viva Chanda Vandana. Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Then now your chant the Padipa Puja. Ganna sabbara hortena dipena tamatang sina tilokadipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang danda sambara yutena dipena hang sugang hina Pujaye pujaniyang tang, puja bhajana muttamang, vanna ganda gunopetang, etang kasuma santatin, pujayami monindas, siripada sarorohe, Pujemi buddhang kasumena nena punnena matena cha hotu mokhang pupang milayati yata idhang me kayo tata yati vinasabhavang adivasetu no bante Paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivasetu no bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang Adivasetu no bhante bojana parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu muttamang.
Just give me a minute. Somebody call. I don't know who. My Trifala. Just give me a minute. I call back this friend. I got an appointment with him tomorrow.
Hello, sorry, I'm still, 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 I'm still,
Okay, now we will continue with our puja. We were at the part where we supposed to do our puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses all the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Paja. Bhadang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, we can have about 20 minutes of meditation. Yeah? You're off the light, then you all can start your meditation. For those who are new, maybe I will give you some simple instruction. Yeah? Just relax body and mind. Huh? Okay. For those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away proceed with your meditation. For those who are still new or still need instruction, you can listen attentively. Yeah? Make sure you got a stable posture. Yeah? Posture. It can be sitting, yeah? Or if you got problem with your leg or your health problem, you can sit on a chair or a couch or lean against a wall and just straighten your leg. Make sure you have a relaxed bodily posture that is stable so that you can meditate for the 20 minutes or so. Then if you still have a lot of thinking, you can use some mental training to decondition your heedless thinking so that it can bring about more calmness, more peacefulness of mind. We call it the mind sweeping method, yeah? To bring about the ability of the mind to just feel and relax, no more thinking. So by doing so, it will decondition your heedless thinking and make you peaceful and calm. Then we combine with loving kindness to bring about inner peace and inner well-being. Okay, now I'll give you the instruction. Silence everything. Just maintain attention at your forehead. Feel your forehead. Feel it soothingly relax. You can detect any tension, any stress within, or any tightness. You just relax it. Feel it soothingly relax. Then you sweep your mind down to your eye muscle. Feel. Again, relax every strand of the eye muscle. Then move it down to your facial muscle. Again, feel. Relax every part of it. Then in order to help you to relax, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, you are relaxed. Then your facial muscle is naturally relaxed. Then after that, you can radiate loving kindness or metta to yourself by reciting, "May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy." As you recite, "This body and mind of mine," you must feel your own body and mind having this well-being and happiness. Then this loving kindness energy or metta energy will go into your body and mind. That's how you can feel the inner well-being. Then you can repeat, "May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. May it too be free from all form of suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May its mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts." Then you continue to radiate this love or metta towards your loved ones. It could be your parents, your brothers, your sister, your good friend, your children, somebody dear to you. May all my loved ones, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. You can visualize them and radiate this metta to them. May their body and mind too be free from all physical and mental suffering. May they all too be free from harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can extend this metta to all beings. May all beings within the whole of SS2, vicinity of this house, known and unknown, seen and unseen, all Kayanamitas, may they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May their mind states too be free from all harm and danger, free from all mental suffering and physical suffering. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then extending beyond, may all beings beyond this house, the whole of SS2, Petaling Jaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Mother Earth, and all beings throughout the solar system, including all beings of the Milky Way, our galaxy, and all beings throughout the entire universe. May they all to be free from all suffering, free from all harm and danger. May they all to be well and happy, well and happy. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you come back to your facial muscle, just feel relaxed. Then sweep it down to your neck, feel relaxed. Shoulder, feel relaxed. Hand, feel relaxed. Back to shoulder. Then you move it on to your heart area. Stay there, silent everything and feel. You can detect any vibration or your heartbeat, you just stay there. If you are new, you are not sensitive, then it's okay. You just feel your heart area and relax into it. Just like how you relax your forehead. Feel it soothingly. Relax, relax and relax. Then you move your attention down to your stomach. Feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Then buttock, feel, relax. Leg, feel, relax. You can reverse the whole mind sweeping method backward. From the leg, feel, relax. Sweep it to the buttock, feel, relax every part of it. Then sweep it up to your abdomen, feel, relax. Then move it to your stomach, feel, relax. Then your heart area, feel, relax. Then your shoulder, hand, neck, back to shoulder, feel, relax them all. Then you sweep it up to your facial muscle again. Feel it soothingly, relax every part of it. Then your eye muscle, relax. Your forehead, relax. By now, you should be more calm, more quiet, and more peaceful. This is the silent mind, the meditative mind, the peaceful mind. You have to stabilize this silent mind or this quiet, tranquil mind. To do that, you need another object of meditation. It can be your breathing, which we call anapanasati. Anapanasati is just mindfulness of the in and out breath. You just maintain attention in front of your nostril. Just like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing. Then the moment you breathe in, you feel the awareness is aware of the breathing in. Then like the Buddha say, breathing in, aware. Similarly, breathing out, aware. And this is what anapanasati is all about. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. This is very good training. You can be mindful of your breathing. You will not think. Your mind will become calm and peaceful. And this is how you train your mind to be peaceful, to be quiet, to be calm, to be in the state of sati or mindfulness. So every time this mind wanders off, just patiently bring it back. Maintain this training until the anapanasati becomes stable. Then your meditative mind will arise. Then you can meditate with that silent mind. With that tranquil, still mind. Okay, I will let you meditate. Then in about 10 minutes time, I will ring the bell. Thank you. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have now, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samantaha Chakavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta It Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Sama Sambuddho Vijacarana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Yaya Patipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripa Jam. Buddhang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay. You can be seated. Then now we can continue with our sharing. We are at page 100. We are at this chapter 6, page 100. The title is Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. Then tonight, we will call upon LC, Brother Chai, and family to help present the topic. So, distribute the notes. They got some notes too. Very good. Yeah. Can just pass it around. Yeah. You pass it around. Somebody will help you. Just pass it around. Yeah. Just pass. Pass one stack out. Yeah. Give me one. Yeah. Okay. Good. Use the mic, come.
Good evening, Brother Teo.
Yeah.
All the brothers and sisters in the Dharma.
Mm.
Today's topic is we talk about the second discourse of the Buddha on the non-self characteristic. So I will make some introduction before I hand over the mic to Brother Chai. This one is the continuation from the after the first discourse. 7 weeks after the Siddhartha Gautama attained supreme enlightenment and came to be known as the Buddha, he gave his first discourse to the group of five ascetics with whom he had been associated 6 years earlier. Before that, you can refer to the note that distributed. By the first discourse of the Buddha set in motion the wheel of the law, or they call it Dhamma Cakkappava Tana Sutta.
Yes.
He explained to the five ascetics why he had discarded the two extremes of sensual indulgence and self-mortification. He declared that he had discovered the middle path, middle way, which is the Noble Eightfold Path, leading to enlightenment. He expounded the Four Noble Truths and convinced the five ascetics that he had attained supreme enlightenment.
Yeah, that's very important, yes.
The five ascetics became his first five disciples right after the first discourse. At this stage, then the first five disciples of the Buddha had insight only into the impermanence of anything which had a conditioned origin. It was at this stage that Buddha gave his second discourse. This is Anatta Lakkhana Sutta.
Yes.
Between the first and second discourse, the Buddha had in his instruction to the five disciples analyze the sentient being into five aggregates of form and mind. These five were material or bodily form, feeling, perceptions, volition states, or sankhara, or mental formation, and consciousness. The Buddha showed that the sentient being was made up of these five aggregates only. The disciple had to have this knowledge to follow the second discourse. Having thus instructed the five disciples, the Buddha gave the discourse on the non-self characteristic of existence, or anatta. So for further details, I will pass the mic to Brother Teo to explain to you.
Brother Chai.
Brother.
Don't worry. So we should rejoice. Rejoice in what Elsie has presented. It's very good. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And now we have Brother Chai come. So Elsie just now mispronounced me. He used to call me Brother Teo. So yeah, so used to it. Don't worry. This is normal. It's good experience because after this sharing, you gain confidence and you will improve. Yeah, Brother Chai, go.
Yeah, good evening, Brother Teo, and all our brothers and sisters. Yeah, this non-self doctrine is indeed a very challenging topic. I think the most difficult assignment of my lifetime. Before I did the paper, and I spent some time doing some reading over the weekend, and also reading some transcript from Brother Teo. It's really, really tough. But I'll try my best to explain. But I may need your assistance from time to time during my presentation. Well, non-self is one of the three characteristics of nature, and the other two being the impermanence or anicca, and one more is dukkha.
Yeah. Dukkha, yes.
Since our topic is on non-self, and one of the three characteristics, I may also take the opportunity to also briefly mention anicca and dukkha.
Because they are interrelated, yeah.
Yeah, it's all interrelated. Yeah. Anicca, also impermanence, may appear obvious to some who see the gross origin and disappearance of animate and inanimate entities. However, the Buddha teaching goes beyond the gross and obvious and extend also to the mind, including the most subtle and supreme level. Based on the Buddha teaching, he taught us that anything which has an origin exists only for a fleeting moment, and that what appears to be compact and stable, both animate and inanimate, is from moment to moment, arising and perishing. This fact can be experienced by one who follows the Noble Eightfold Path. Then we move on to dukkha. Why is dukkha? It's a fact of life. It's a fact of life, regardless of whether those critical of the Buddha teaching label this as pessimism or not. In fact, the first Noble Truth explained why this existence is essentially dukkha. Some do not accept this view because for the time being, all appears to be going well for them. Looks like they are in the comfort zone. Some see it in others, but do not give it much attention because it does not affect them for the time being. Some are unable to see the existence due to mental impairment or gross ignorance. The Buddha did not hesitate to focus full attention on this characteristic, and did so because he was aware of its cause and knew that others too could realize this for themselves later on. The cause, for your information, is essential to know also that the cause of the dukkha is also found in the other two characteristics of existence, because they are all interrelated. Now we move on to anatta. Before I move on to anatta, I have to ask Brother Teo permission. I have gone through many articles on this sessions of the characteristic, and I picked out a few articles from Buddhist Association publications, and ultimately I still think the transcript from Brother Teo is still the most beautiful one.
Yeah.
That's why in the next page, we move on to page 3.
Yeah.
Where I will go through, the doctor allow me to go through this session to explain the meaning of anatta.
No problem.
Also means non-self. I am very thankful to Brother Teo for having for giving me the book Law of
Origination Dependence.
Origination. I think all the information is all inside.
Yeah.
Whether you talk about all the three characteristics or the aggregates of the form and mind.
Yeah.
And all the link of the twelve links of suffering. It's all inside.
Yeah.
So by reading that book, it made me aware and also understand before I do this presentation. Anatta. What is anatta? It means non-self. So what is non-self? It means that you do not have the wisdom to see clearly. What it means? Right view and right understanding. That your five aggregates of form and mind is not you. It will give rise to ignorance or Sakaya Titi, self-delusion of the I, me, and mine. Then what do you mean by Sakaya Titi? It means because you do not have the wisdom. You take the non-self as self, as the self. When you take the non-self as a self, you will think that it's a person that exists in you. A person to see, a person to hear, taste, smell, feel, and think, and so on. You would think these five aggregates of form and mind is real.
Very good.
You will then associate with this so-called self, or the egoic mind. When the egoic mind arises, because there is a personality in you, you would associate everything you see, you hear, you taste, you smell, you touch and you think or you feel, and you would think there is a person to see, a person to hear, a person who smell, a person who tastes, touches, feel and think and to enjoy. As a result, it arises what? Craving in
good.
You. And let me give you a typical example of craving. It can be many. Just one typical example. Craving for sensual desire. Or craving for sensual pleasure. There's a key factor here. This is not to say you cannot have all these good and nice sense experiences. You can have them, but you must have the wisdom not to clinch and not to attach.
Sadhu, very good.
It is important you must know them for what they are and how they arise. And the condition behind their arising.
Sadhu. Very good.
Okay, what is sense experiences? It all came from natural environment, natural phenomena. It can arise naturally, subject to dependent origination. When they come, if you have the wisdom, this wisdom will take care of it by itself. You don't have to do anything.
Sadhu.
It's almost automatic naturally.
Yeah.
You will not develop the craving, the attachment, and the clinching. This part of life is subject to law of nature, to everybody, despite of your religion. Then duality. What is duality? Duality arises when you tend to divide something into good and bad. It's a natural tendency for all human beings. Wholesome and unwholesome, and so on. And it is due to this duality that you give rise to aversion and clinging and subsequently give rise to greed and hatred and so forth, following the reaction to your sense experiences. And this duality can trap you.
Sadhu, it will always trap you.
As such, it is very essential to develop wisdom and understanding, thereby enabling you to have a mind born of right view. This is enable you to develop a wise attention at every moment at sense of sense experiences.
Yeah.
Called Yoniso Manasikara.
Yoniso Manasikara, yes.
And when you have developed within Yonisu Master Karan, with right view and with right mindfulness, it will enable you to be free, followed by feelings. Remain as pure feelings.
Yes, very good.
Ultimately, it will not cause the link. Remember the link?
Yeah.
The 12th link of the human suffering?
Yeah.
To carry on as per what has been stated in the law of dependence origination.
Yeah.
As a result, it will not lead you to craving.
Yes.
And it will not lead you to grasping.
Yes.
And it will not cause attachment. That is the meaning of attachment and detachment. Mm. Then it will not lead to becoming and birth.
Sadhu.
Yeah.
Very good.
I hope this section will explain us to us the meaning of non-self.
Yeah.
And Brother Tiong, I also have take the liberty to do some research.
Yeah.
And the next page, basically, I would like to share what actually transpired during the second discourse. I'm not sure whether this is true or not, but we just go through. Maybe Brother Tiong, you could comment. Yeah. And this second discourse can be analyzed into the following parts. The first one, statements made by Arahat Ananda to the first council of 500 Arahats who met at Rajagaha 2 months after Buddha Parinibbana for the purpose of rehearsing the law and the discipline as expounded by the Buddha. This is the first part. And then the second part, a statement made by Buddha with reference to each of the 5 aggregates of form and mind, namely the bodily form and the mental components comprising of feeling, perception, volitional states, and consciousness. And then the third part is, Buddha also questioned the 5 disciples as to whether each of the 5 aggregates is permanent or impermanent. And the disciples agreed that all these aggregates are impermanent. And on further questioning, they agreed that what is impermanent is unsatisfactory.
Very good. Yes.
And going on to the next logical conclusion, they agreed that what is impermanent cannot really belong to anyone, nor can it be said that this aggregate form an abiding essence in a sentient being.
Yes, very good.
Then the conclusion drawn from this analysis in respect of each of the aggregates in any form whatsoever. This I didn't put out the detail because we can find it from the textbook. And then the next part, the result of this analysis, which is insightful into the true nature of a being, which leads to initial disenchantment or discontentment with the aggregates, then followed by detachment, equanimity, and final emancipation. The 5 disciples were delighted with the Buddha discourse and all attained enlightenment at the end of the discourse. And then the last part basically is some practical consideration, which I pick up from one article. Based on the writer of this article, he said, there is an important practical implication. We say, unless one gains insight into the non-self characteristic of existence or nature, it is not possible to start on the path to enlightenment.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah.
You cannot break Sakkaya Ditti. You cannot liberate your mind.
Yeah.
Because that is the fundamental fetters that bind. First of the 10 fetters that bind living being to existence. Yeah. Good.
And then the writer also gave his second point of view. He said, this second discourse was indeed a massive discovery which was revolutionary in human thought. And before that, before the Buddha's time, many religious teachers emphasized the existence of an abiding soul. A skeptic would say that this soulless doctrine is one of hopelessness and despair and equates a sentient being to an automaton. But on the contrary, Buddha teaching on the non-self doctrine gives the sentient being the highest sense of responsibility, the greatest amount of encouragement, the highest measure of hope, and is conducive to contentment, which will be reflected in the disciple attitude to other fellow beings, which is the only way forward to put an end to all strife on this earth planet.
Strife on this earth planet, yes. Very good.
Yeah.
The only thing is the author didn't explain all this. Afterwards, I will help you all to understand. Because the argument he brought for the criticism and comment from the general public, but he doesn't have the capacity to understand and explain all this. In fact, the meaning of the teaching that the Buddha expounded is extremely beautiful. Not only profound, but extremely beautiful. When you understand, you will know what this thing is. Then both the unreal and the real, they have their purpose and meaning. The five aggregate of form and mind, like the Buddha say, even though not you, but karmically conditional for you to come to this world. That's why it is for you to use with understanding. And you can use it to live life to the fullest. That's why everything is there. It's not what people think. When it's mentioned in the teaching that this is not you, the five degree of form and mind is not a permanent unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, grasp on to and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. They don't have that understanding. Even though not you, but karmically conditioned out, is connected to your nature, both karmically and spiritually. So when you have that understanding, when the wisdom is developed and connected to the five aggregate of form and mind, this five aggregate of form and mind, even though not you, but is beautiful, is your vehicle and tool to come to this world, to live life, to experience life, to do all its duty. That's why the word responsibility and all those things are all there. After I will explain it. Okay, good. Continue, brother.
The order actually encourages to verify the how true is this aspect of the Buddha teaching. Besides knowing, understanding the Buddha teaching, so we have to verify. How do we verify? And maybe like what Brother Teo have shared with us many times is to investigate the Dhamma.
Because the Dhamma is the truth, and truth will stand up to investigation. Yeah. Where truth is the reality, whatever that can explain the way things are is the truth, is the reality. And that is what the Buddha's teaching is all about. It's about Dhamma, truth.
Yeah. So in order to convince ourselves about the truth of this doctrine, I think we have to follow the Noble Eightfold Path by constant mindfulness and insight meditation. I think we will know whether this teaching is true or not. And then on the last part, basically is a conclusion. Based on the Buddha teaching, the bodily form is subject to disease, decay and death, over which we have no ultimate control. The body does not decide to move, stand, sit or lie down. These movements are always preceded by a mental directive or mental signal. Thus, the ultimate truth is that we cannot state that the body is mine or I am the body. And then similarly, the mental component arises, exists for a moment and then perish. They arise dependent on conditions. So here again, according to the ultimate truth, we cannot state that the mental component are mine or I am the mental components.
Very good.
Yeah.
Sadhu, sadhu. Let us rejoice. Eh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good, very, very good. See? Everybody can do it. Eh? Nothing to worry. Oh, they did very well. The research are very good. Eh? You ask them, huh? They already thumb up, I saw a few. So this is very beautiful. Huh? I rejoice with the good sharing by both Elsie and the husband, huh? Brother Chai. You say this is their first time and they can do it so well. So given time, they will learn very fast and they will progress very fast. It's not what I want you to do. Or some of you may think, "Ayo, brother, don't embarrass me." Just now when I said, Sue, before you go back to New Zealand, where is Sue? Wow. I said, shall we nominate her? She said, don't laugh, Brother Teo. I said, why are you scared? Oh, I said, if you look back, on hindsight, you would thank me for making that what they call brave move to do it. I still remember just now when we were having dinner, Alicia confided to us because she is good friend with Elsie. So last Tuesday after that class, we decided on Elsie and Brother Chai. So Elsie initially was not prepared yet. So she told Alicia, she said, no, I'm not ready yet. Then after she did all the homework, everything, then before today, Alicia called her up again. Wow, she used the okay sign. No problem. Ready. So that was a very good, what they call, attempt. Then really, they printed the notes and they had it done up. So you don't worry what you present. It is a discussion. It is an opportunity for each and every one of you to give it a try as to how much you understand the teaching. Off it. Yeah. Push it down. Oh no, sorry, push it down. It's off already. It's okay. Yeah. So, it's an opportunity for you all to learn how to express yourself, to express what you have learned. And it is only under such circumstances, listen carefully, that you will push yourself to study, to find out more. Otherwise, don't worry, Brother Tee will explain everything. So what you do? You just listen, or sometimes didn't even listen. Then sometimes you listen, you thought, why Brother Tee keep on repeating, you think you know, but actually you don't know, because you are never given the opportunity to try it out. When you have to express it out, you will have to face your own fear, your own sankhara, mental activity. That's the reason why I say it's good for you. Like Brother Chai say, it's very challenging. Challenging in the sense that this topic is not easy. But he make a very good attempt to read out, to learn. And he find it very useful, because from there he learned many things. Then what he has gathered here is very good. Most of it is there. So now it's my turn to maybe share this a bit. This particular sutta, Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, is a very, very beautiful and very profound sutta. You turn to the text, page 100. I like to go through the text, because if I don't go through the text, you may not quite understand. Not everything the text wrote is correct, but at least if I read out to you, you will understand. Page 100, Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. The sutta on non-self, or empty nature or existence. So all these are words, but the true meaning is very important. If you can understand the true meaning, it will help you. So this sutta started out by saying, on one occasion, the Exalted One was dwelling at the deer park in Isipatana near Benares. Then the Exalted One addressed the five ascetic, saying, O Bhikkhu. Then they replied, Lord. Thereupon the Exalted One spoke as follows. This body, here he put bracket, rupang. But under the actual understanding of the teaching, rupang, form, is not only pertaining to the physical body. Physical body is the first aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. Under the five aggregate of form and mind, there are two aspects to it. The first aspect is, this five aggregate of form and mind, like Brother Chai has explained, is just the physical body and a mind that is trapped inside. So we call it the human being. the living being. This is the first aspect. As a living being, as a human being, we have a physical body. That is the first aggregate of form, rupang. Can follow? Yeah. Can follow or not? Yeah. Then second aspect is the mind. The mind has four more aggregates. To understand these four aggregates, you must ask yourself, what can your mind do? What can your mind do? Your mind can? Your mind can do what? Yeah? Feel. Very good. So that is the aggregate of feeling. That's why vedana. Then what else? Your mind can? Perceive. Perception. Sanya. Is a aggregate of mind. Because this is what your mind can do. Then your mind can do a lot of thinking. Arise a lot of mental state, emotion and all those things. Then it can give rise to mental intention. That's why they use a lot of English word to describe the third aggregate of Sankara. Here, the notes that Brother Chai give you and the text, they only use mental volition. Means mental activity, mental intention. But all of mental states, your planning, the scheming, your deception, your fear, worry, anxiety, your peaceful state of mind, all of the mental states, they are part of Sankara. So your mind not only can think, it can create mental states, mental activity. So in short, like I explained, you have to understand it deeply. Sankara means everything that your mind can do, including feeling and perception. They are all Sankara. So Sankara is actually the content of consciousness. Everything that your mind can do, the content inside is Sankara, including feeling and perception. Then the last aggregate is actually consciousness. They call it the receptacle. Or the container that holds the content. So consciousness, when it's pure without the content, is just the consciousness. That's the reason why the Buddha said in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness. The self delusion hasn't come in, the atta hasn't come in, the content of consciousness hasn't come in. Like a baby, you see, you become conscious of that thing as it is, without words, without concept. And that is vijnanam. But the moment you put in the content, it becomes a thought. The five aggregate form in mind become a mental five aggregate. And that is the second aspect of the five aggregate form in mind. And within that mental aggregate, as you know, you only got the four. Feeling, perception, sankara, and consciousness. Then the form, the mental form, where does it come in? Where does the mental form goes in? It is the perception that brings the external form into the mind. That's how the mind also has the five aggregate form in mind. And that is the one the Buddha is interested in. That is the one that he is teaching under the dependent origination or dwelling paticca-samuppada teaching. So these two aspects of the five aggregate form in mind is most important, and you have to understand it clearly before you can understand Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. And you go and check all the texts. I haven't seen anybody explain the two aspects. They always quote the five aggregate on it, finish. And they can't even tell you specifically this is the human being and other things. There are some who mention it, but they are not clear. They use words. So this aspect, I hope it will help you. Then now we go on. Page 100, we continue. If all bhikkhu, they were in this five aggregate of form and mind, where the first aggregate of form, which is the physical body, if they were in this a soul, then this body would not be subject to suffering, because you would then be able to tell the body, let this body be thus, let this body not be thus. Such possibility would exist, because they believe there is a soul, permanent unchanging entity that governs everything. Means this one has ultimate command. If there is self, means it will not change. It will stay the way it is. But because it's not self, that's why they postulate all the various theory about soul, Atman, ultimate self, and all those things. Those were the earlier theories. And this soul theory comes from the Christian teaching. Sometimes the Hindu teaching, they also believe in a soul, because the Tibetan also believe in a soul. They believe in reincarnation. Reincarnation means, I will draw it on the whiteboard. You know what is reincarnation? Reincarnation. You familiar with this word or not? Reincarnate means there is something permanent that transmigrate, which means when a person die, they believe you have a soul inside, a permanent unchanging entity which they call this soul. And this soul, after you die, leave this body and take over another body. They call this rebirth. They believe in a permanent unchanging entity. So this one they call it soul that transmigrate. This was very popular before the advent of the Buddha's teaching. The only thing that they didn't realize it, if there is a soul, if this soul is a permanent unchanging entity that cannot be destroyed, whatever that you learn, you would have carried over in there. Correct? Then if this is a permanent unchanging entity, soul, then what is this physical body that this soul use? They cannot understand. Because to them, they are only interested in this mind, which they feel is permanent, never die. And this one will come out and take birth. But the real thing is not like that. The Buddha realized this one, the realm of consciousness, is separate. Then it has its own, what they call, way of existence. After that, it was somehow like a what they call, I use this analogy, like you have a burning log. You burn the piece of wood or log. After the fuel already more or less burned until towards the end, then it just smolder. Means all the heat is almost finishing already, except the smoke, the smoldering part. So
just no more battery. So that one, once the smoke also finish, means that whole thing gone. That random of consciousness also will disperse. When there is no more craving, no more clinging, no more grasping, no more of all this mental energy within, then it will disperse. So according to the Buddha, what happened is upon death, there is a death consciousness. Because they didn't know that this form and mind, this 5 aggregate of form and mind, it arises through condition. And as I explained, there are three conditions behind. What are the three conditions? One of them is karmic. Karmic force. Karmic force or life force. This karmic force, they call it your karmic energy that allow you to exist. That's why this is the one they call the life force that pump your heartbeat. When this karmic force is gone, when destructive karma hit, your heartbeat will stop. There is no more karmic force to pump the heart. When there is no more karmic force to pump the heart, your heart will fail. Then the blood will not reach all your organs to nourish the physical body. That's how the brain will die. The other organ will die. Then consciousness has to leave. So the first condition is to have this karmic force. Then you have to have the physical body. Physical body. Then you have to have the consciousness. This consciousness, like the Buddha explained, is not permanent. And this consciousness is not you. That's how the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta come out. To do away with the wrong understanding, the misconception that this consciousness that is trapped in your physical body is a soul. And the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta has this power. It explains clearly that this is not a permanent unchanging entity. After this, I will go through with you, then you will understand. Even the physical body also same. Then this karmic force also same. All these are conditions that need for this human being or five aggregate of form and mind to arise. So to animate this five aggregate of form and mind into a human being, you need these three conditions. Form and mind. Any of these three conditions cease, you will die. So what happens is, at the moment of death, straight away, the last death consciousness, they call it cuti chitta. It so happened to be a Malay word, take leave, cuti. C-U-T-I, a real word, cuti chitta. Then you have the rebirth consciousness. The one that condition rebirth consciousness is the death consciousness, the cuti chitta. Then this rebirth consciousness actually goes in. So initially, like if it's born as a human being, this rebirth consciousness is just a single consciousness. Understand? It's a rebirth consciousness. That's why the baby got nothing inside there. Just one consciousness. Then as the cell slowly from the sperm and ovum subdivide and multiply and form the senses, then when the time comes for the consciousness to go in, then there are two heartbeats. One is the baby, the fetus. The other one is the mother. The scientists can confirm all this. Then when the two entities inside starts to develop, you can see how the baby, through just a simple rebirth consciousness, very simple, pure consciousness, because inside there no content, nothing. They said the baby got nothing. But this one carry with it all the karmic inheritance. You understand? That's why that one, the DNA of this physical body that is reborn. This one, they will have the characteristic of the karmic of that form and mind. The summation of all the birth, the segmented life, each and every mind moment that it arises, that will form your karmic nature. And this karmic nature has all the imprint, the DNA, the rebirth consciousness, they are born of the karma, heir to the karma, conditioned and supported by karma. And they are what they are because of their karma. Can follow? Then from here, this rebirth consciousness slowly, slowly, slowly become what it is when you grew up. You start to learn, understand? Learn from your mother, your parents, your brothers, your sister, the environment, the conditioning. Then later on, you go to school, the kindergarten teacher, the school teacher. Then you got the education system, the newspaper, the media. Now maybe not so much of a newspaper. Now it's a handphone, the internet technology and all those things. So now you learn from Google. You learn from all the internet and all those things. So this one will create a bundle of memories. Memories. Because the brain starts to accumulate and store up all this. And you learn it through your whatever environment that you are in. And this one accumulate and become the memory bank. And this memory bank is the one that allow you to create thought. That's why thought is respond to memory. So initially baby don't have thought because they got no idea, no knowledge, no concept, nothing. That's why as you grew up, as you learn, when your parent teach you papa, mama, then apple, whatever, then sweet, what, then you have to experience it as a baby or fetus, as a kid. Then you learn. From there you learn. Then you learn to be cunning, deceitful and all those things. Then you learn to have fear and all those things. Then you learn to worry, have anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, suffering and all those things. As you grow up, all this, they are conditioned into a bundle of memory with its conditioning, views, opinion, and belief systems. All of your traditions, your race, your culture, everything go in, understand? Then this is the one that make you a monster because you don't know what this is. You just use this without understanding the whole collective consciousness. So this consciousness, which evolved as the baby grew up, is what the Buddha called your five aggregate of form and mind, the five mental aggregate. And this one, the Buddha said, is not a soul. If it's a soul, then the anatta lakkhana theory will be very clear. It will not be soul. Yeah. If consciousness is self, soul, it will not tend towards suffering. Do you understand? Because the mind, if it's permanent, it will not go the way of suffering. If it's permanent, the feeling, the perception, all the aggregate, he subdivide out and he check with you. He said, is feeling permanent? You live life, you use your form and mind, you will know feelings is impermanent. Your feeling come and go, you didn't die. Then feeling can become pleasant, then it can cease, then it become unpleasant, and yet you didn't die. So how can feeling be you? If feeling is not you, then what is feeling? How come it arise in you? Then whatever that is impermanent, is it satisfactory? It's subject to change. It will not be a permanent state. That's why it's unsatisfactory. It will bring about suffering. So whatever that is impermanent tends towards suffering, the Buddha asked the monk. How can you say this is me? This is I. And all this can be mine. Because by itself, it's impermanent. The whole lot of five aggregate of form and mind is impermanent. Not a permanent unchanging entity. It keep on evolving. Keep on changing. Every moment, every instant is different. Every aggregate inside there is like that. Then this karmic force keep on coming in through karmic support to support the form and mind. Any of these cysts is gone. Then the physical body with the organ also. Any of the organ, like your spinal cord or your brain damage, the critical organ, the consciousness cannot stay in. Straight away, the form and mind will disperse and you call it death. But the Buddha knew nothing die because this is not you. This is just karmically conditional for you to come to this world. And this part, people cannot understand. The karmically conditioned. Karmically conditioned. from my mind. This one, I have yet to see any monk or any author write about it. Yeah. Very few people can understand it. And this is a vehicle and a tool for you to use. They also don't know. This is subject to karma. Nobody talk about it yet. I haven't seen anybody write about it. So all these are understanding. And because the Western people or the Hindu, other religion, they cannot understand this. They got trapped in ideology. So they prefer the soul theory, where it's very interesting. That's why they believe there is a permanent soul that transmigrate, continue. Yeah. Reincarnate. If you believe in this soul theory, then your ego, your self-delusion will be very strong, very powerful. Then you cannot develop the spiritual understanding to liberate. Then you will worry about this form, getting old, getting sick and die, where you think it's you. That's why you cannot have the understanding to free. Yeah. Then what people cannot understand is, this form and mind, even though not you, but it's karmically conditioned out for you to come to this world, to live life, to experience life, to cultivate. But for most people who are heedless, don't have the understanding, they are here to pay back their karmic debt. Understand? To experience all of their karmic friction or whatever that they have done in the previous life. Then every segmented life that you come, each and every segment, you are born as a different form and mind, individual. Sometimes human beings, sometimes animals, sometimes devas, sometimes even hell-rhyme beings. Then which one is you? None of them are you. And because none of them are you, you have to understand the form and mind is subject to karma. That's why this one got its duty. Even though not you, you have to do your duty. This one has its duty. Means you have to live life in accordance with that law of karma. That you are born of it, add to it, conditioned and subjected to it. And you are what you are because of that karma. So this is the one that you must know how to use and yet not be deceived by it, deluded by it. This is what the fifth patriarch told Huining, the sixth patriarch. And because of that, he came to great awakening. So this one, although impermanent, not you, as real it can be only the moment, but there is such thing as life, existence. That form and mind connected to the wisdom, the understanding, will make this form and mind enlightened. But this form and mind which is enlightened is not a permanent unchanging entity that you can call this is me, this is I. Therefore all this can be mine. So with that wisdom connected, you can use this form and mind, you understand? To live the noble life of enlightenment, even though it's within the conditioned world, unreal. That's why the Buddha's teaching is not pessimistic. You understand? If you understand this, this is wonderful existence. That's the reason why in the Heart Sutta, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva say, if you penetrate through emptiness, in true emptiness, there is wonderful existence. Zhen Kong Miao Yu. When you realize true emptiness, life becomes wonderful. Life becomes beautiful, meaningful. Yeah. So this five year of form and mind, even though not you, but it is a vehicle and a tool that can allow you to live the noble life of an enlightened one. That is the third phase of Dhamma. That's why the teaching is so beautiful, so meaningful. Not what people think. Now you understand? Yeah? No need to argue with what people say. You say got soul or what, then the question is very simple. If there is a soul, you don't have to worry about this world having problems. Because your soul never dies. Then do what you like. You understand? Because you think this soul is eternal. True or not? If eternal, why should I bother with life? I can kill, harm, and do whatever I like. Then after I die, my soul remains. Is there such a thing? If there is such a thing, there is no karma. But because there is karma, that's why you cannot do such a thing. Because the process is different. That's why before the advent of the Buddha, there is no such teaching. Nobody has the understanding. That's the reason why this teaching is so unique, so beautiful, so wonderful. And it can really bring about understanding. Even the scientist is very near, like I read to you just now before we start, for those who are early. My MU classmate, that WhatsApp group, they share all this thing. So now scientists understand that mind and matter are related. Then underlying all matter is the consciousness, the fundamental entity. They cannot penetrate consciousness. That's why they cannot have the unified theory, like I explained in the book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. I think I wrote it there. Or don't know, one of the transcript book, I cannot remember. Could be the latest transcript book that is coming out, where I saw that inside there too. I talk about the unified theory. Later on, I share with you. So because of all this, the Buddha's teaching, when it comes, it revolutionizes a lot of things. If the scientists were to go into this teaching, develop the understanding of the true mind, that's why just now I read out to you, to understand pure consciousness. Then, to understand the nature within, the source of all things. We call it the oneness nature, the source, the singularity and all this thing. All this can be understood through awareness-based meditation, not through thought-based. Thought-based lead to energy field. That's why the Einstein's equation, E equals mc squared, energy is mass times the square of the speed of light, which means mass, which is matter, matter, is trapped energy. You understand? Yeah? Because E equals mc squared. E equals mc squared. So this one is mass. Is metal. Metal. And this one is energy. So now from this, you will understand. These two are connected. And thought is mental energy. That's why energy is part of matter. Matter is trapped energy. So when trapped energy is released, it becomes energy. That's how you get your nuclear fusion and all those things, nuclear bomb and all those things. But before matter come about, it's all mind, consciousness. When mind and consciousness arise, it can create thought. And thought being mental energy can become matter. Understand? That's how the universe come about. It's explained in the Surangama Sutta. Those who really penetrate the meditation, they can understand. That's why I replied to them in the WhatsApp. That's how I said. The only reason why they cannot understand all this is how this pure consciousness, which is without mass, without energy, can give rise to energy, thought, the mundane mind. And from the mundane mind, element, matter, come about. So all this, the scientists has unfolded. But they cannot understand the entity which is before energy and matter. Means before thought and before the elements. That is where the pure awareness, the consciousness, the true mind, that nature comes in. And that is where the scientists cannot penetrate. And now there are a lot of physicists talking about this. Just now I read one is one of the famous physicists is Max Planck, I think. He was a famous quantum physicist. And he come to know everything that exists in this universe, all energy and matter, underlying it, he mentioned, is the consciousness which is fundamental to existence. He already have that, what they call expression, but he cannot understand it because he never meditate awareness-based meditation. That's why he cannot penetrate. Okay? So this is clear. Huh? Any question? If you don't understand, you can ask. Huh? Don't be shy. You can. No battery, but a few words can.
Brother Chiu, can you please do another quick version, a short one now, on what is consciousness all over again and how it arises to be part of this three conditions.
Okay. Just now you came in late. You were here early. But you came in that time. Did I start the puja already? Means you came in late. Was it recorded? Towards the end already. When Hui Rong came in with Anna, I saw them there. I read to you this one just now, which I share with them. Then you understand. I think Mimi and the son also came in towards the end. This one is, I will put it on the WhatsApp, you don't worry. Then you can benefit from this sharing. It just happened today, the condition all fall into place. I wrote to this classmate, he's a Hindu, he quoted this Deepak Chopra. He said, Deepak Chopra includes some thoughts from Max Planck. And the reason why he actually sent this out was after I explained to the person who wrote to me E equals MC square, then I explained the actual C, then I link matter with thought. Then he become interested. Then he starts to send us this write-up. So I will read to you this part. Because they mention Stephen Hawking and all this thing. E equals MC square. Then I explain C should be the speed of light, 168,000 miles per second. E equals the energy. So mass or matter is trapped energy. By deduction, thought, which is mental energy, is actually matter. You understand? Then somebody wrote about Stephen Hawking, A Brief History in Time. I said, yeah, it's a very good book, and I love it too. That book too, I read long ago. But because there are some Christians in the group, so I didn't want to probe deeper, because in that book, it was asked one very, very fundamental question for the Christian to wake up. Do you know what Stephen Hawking asked or not in the book? What was God doing before he created? Do you all find this question interesting? What was God doing before he created? You can understand. Before the universe come about. Let's say that... No, I'm not saying there is no God. Stephen Hawking also never say there is no God. Stephen Hawking just want to know, what was God doing before he created? Isn't that a very simple question? Because there was nothing. No. We shouldn't ask the question about whether God exists or not. But God was a concept created by a religion, understand or not? So you cannot know whether there is God or no God. So that question, to a lot of people who understand, is irrelevant. But the question that we want to know is, if you say there is such a God which we don't want to dispute, then the question is very easy. Why can't you answer a simple question, what was God doing before he created? Because the Bible never say, there was Genesis when God created. First day, what he do? Second day, what he do? Until the seventh day, he take a rest.
But they didn't say before he create what he do. What Stephen Hawking is trying to tell you is physicists don't need a God to understand the universe. Do you understand that? That is his point. That's why he's very simple. He don't want to be controversial too. But what is important is here now, the scientist has probed so deep, I read to you this part, you will know. So this part is very interesting. What would it take for totally new thinking to take hold? The journey begins with the psychological aspect of reality, which von Neumann called essential. Seconding him are an area of eminent physicists from the beginning who discovered the quantum error. Max Planck was adamant that reality at bottom involves consciousness. As he put it, all matter originates and exists only by virtue of a force. We must assume behind this force the existence of a conscious and an intelligent mind. This mind is the matrix of all matter. See, he has this understanding, which is very good. This means that lumps of matter are no longer floating out there, like snowflakes that fall from the sky and collect on your shoulder or collar, coat collar. But rather, matter is embraced in the same matrix that hold thoughts and dreams. See, they know matter, thoughts and dreams are the same. Planck believed that mind is even more basic than matter. It's expressed with total clarity here. He said, I regard consciousness as fundamental. I regard matter as derivative from consciousness. Everything that we speak about or talk about, everything that we regard, oh yeah, no more battery. Never mind, meant to be. I will send it to you another day. Oh, Kong, the battery Kong. Yeah, never mind, no need to read. Anyway, regarding your question about consciousness, you want to know how all these three conditions arise. You don't need to know because
in that same sort of category, we just know that it exists and it just happens.
No.
We don't need to know more. We just like karmic force. You know, we don't need to know any more than that.
You can stay in that knowledge if you choose to be, but this mind, that has the potential to realize all this and beyond, is something that you have to realize and penetrate. If you choose not to penetrate, it's okay. Because like law of karma, you don't have to know too much about this law. As long as you know it's a nature's law, like the scientists, they can do experiment to prove that there is such a theory that follow or obey this law. Then as scientists probe, when they go into more what they call detailed expression of matter, means as the speed tends toward the speed of light, they realize Newtonian mechanics no longer right. Collapse, fail. Because they finally came to an understanding that there is such thing as a fourth dimension, which is time. T-I-M-E. Time has become a dimension in speed. So speed of an object has a bearing on time. If your speed tends towards the speed of light, time is arrested. That's why it becomes pure energy, timeless. So this fourth dimension thing have revolutionized the Newtonian mechanics, and it caused Newtonian mechanics to fail. Then the quantum mechanics come in. When it's at the quantum level,
very, very small forces and minute level. Again, the theory is different. Then they finally realize light, there are both particle and wave theory. Light is both particle and wave. When it behaves as a wave, the physicist knew it's photon. Understand? When it behaves like a particle, yeah, it is not proton. It is electron, neutron. Yeah. Photon and proton are different, you know, no? P-H-O-T-O-N. Photon are the smallest breakdown for light when it is in a wave form. But when light is in a particle form, it has all the elements of matter, particle. That's why it has neutron, proton, it has electron, it has all the atomic particle. Then later on, they have this meson and all those very small particles, smaller than electron. The scientist has penetrated all this understanding. But when it comes to consciousness, it's the origin. Just now I want to read to you that part that I explained to them. I said, the scientist has come to realize that behind all this arising of energy and matter is the fundamental consciousness. And this fundamental consciousness, you cannot penetrate unless you meditate with awareness-based meditation. Because that consciousness, like the scientists came to know, it has got no mass. Because there is no content. There is no energy or matter inside there. Because it's just pure consciousness. Just pure consciousness without its content. That's why you put in the content, it becomes thought. Understand? It becomes thought, energy. Then thought can create what they call the continent and the world, means element. That's why in the Surangama Sutta, you read, you will know. He said, everything starts from the primordial darkness. The first thought of ignorance that trigger off the spinning of consciousness. From the first thought of ignorance, this is primordial darkness, you know, means it's still very pure, you know, but it's already a darkness. That's why from there it spins. Yeah. Then the first thought of ignorance continues to condition until it becomes sophisticated. Then this consciousness being so sophisticated become matter. You know how it become matter or not? Yeah? I explained to you before that in our human world you can see that the table, all the solid thing, yeah? The external solid thing, they are all made of matter, you know, got mass. Our physical body is the same. Yeah. But then matter is trapped energy. And matter, because it comes from mind, it comes from the mundane mind, the thought process. That's why our thought can see matter. Do you understand? But matter cannot see mind, the thinking mind, the mundane mind. Do you understand? Because mind created matter. The energy becomes trapped energy, it becomes mc squared. You understand? It's not difficult to understand. Then, what create thought? What create thought? The pure awareness, isn't it? Before the content go in, isn't it? That's why awareness create thought. That's why awareness can be aware of thought. But thought can never be aware of awareness. Do you understand? Because it's higher intelligence. You meditate, you will know. You don't meditate, you cannot know. That's why in the Surangama Sutta is very clearly stated. After long evolution, this consciousness becomes so sophisticated, then the Sakkaya Ditti set in. The Sakkaya Ditti is a self-delusion. Yeah. They thought within the consciousness and its content, there is a knower. You understand? A person who knows. The knower becomes the what? Living being. The five aggregate of form and mind. You understand? The traveler in space and time. That is the knower. Then consciousness that come out from the pure awareness becomes the creator. That's why the Buddha say, mind is a forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. So consciousness created the continent, the star system, and the world system, and the planet. They all come from consciousness. So consciousness and its content is energy, thought-based. Then this one crystallizes into form. That's how it conditions the form and mind, the karmic and all those things. That all this come about because it's the nature's law within the boundary condition of creation. That boundary condition already set all this nature's law. Then from there it evolves and it comes. That's how all this can happen. But if you try to use the thought to understand, it's not easy. Because you can only understand until the thought level. Beyond thought is completely different. So unless you go into the pure awareness, silence that mind, still the mind, and realize Nibbana, the oneness nature, then it can have the understanding. Then you have to perfect all the perfection to be a Sama Sambuddha, to have the all-knowing knowledge. That's why, even though it can be understood, it's not easy unless you put in all the necessary condition for you to do all this cultivation. Oh, 10 more minutes. I better finish off. Yes, Chui. Yeah.
I'm a little bit unclear about the...
Yeah. Now I just speak. Huh?
Can you mention... can you... the slight difference between consciousness and awareness. I mean, we use those words... Sometimes we just
keep all wrong. Okay, I will answer that. You see, consciousness is a very loose word. When they use the word consciousness, it's like the whole thing is consciousness, understand? Because the pure awareness is before the content went in. Do you understand? Before the pure awareness, there is another thing, which is the source. The oneness nature and all those things. But the first thing that come out is that true mind, which is just pure awareness. You understand? And there is awareness itself. It's just aware. It cannot come out and live life. It cannot do anything. But the moment there is delusion, Sakkaya Ditti, that input, the form and mind that input the content, then the thought come out. That's how simple it is. The thought just come out. Without the views, opinion, conditioning, the thought cannot come out. That's why the baby, see things as they are, have pure awareness, but no thought. During the very early formation days of the baby, when it's just born or whatever, it's just pure consciousness. But when you learn through conditioning, the brain, when it starts to accumulate and develop all those concepts and ideas, then thought arises. That's why thought is response to memory. Without memory, without registration and accumulation, there is no thought. And how thought creates matter is very easy to understand. Because a human being, all the other conditions come about. But these are all dependent originating conditions arising. Without human mind, without living being's mind, all of these masses, matter, cannot arise. The planet, the universe, the continent cannot arise. But because of consciousness and its content, all this come to be.
Can I ask a question?
Can.
Okay. Now we talk about the enlightened state. We talk about arahants. We always say the arahants are enlightenment with outflow.
Yeah.
And the bodhisattvas is enlightenment to a certain level of cultivation of a bodhisattva stage.
Yeah, continue to speak, nevermind.
Enlightenment without outflow. So now at the pure awareness, so that means there is a state called non-production. That means the state of mind is always in the pure awareness.
Okay,
can you equip with that? That's why I want to understand the non-production state. That means he is in a state of pure awareness at all time. But if he needs to use the mundane mind, he will arise his mundane mind to do whatever he needs to do, and then he will return back to his pure awareness. So is this pure awareness is called the non-production states of mind?
Okay.
That is my question.
Very good, Sadhu. So it's not easy, for people to develop this understanding to ask this question, because you must have already developed some form of very, very good practices of cultivation before you can ask the question that we may ask. She is at the stage where she still has this very slight question which she wants to know. That's why there is condition I can share. I will explain this, which is very important. As you know, I explained just now, without the form and mind, you cannot come to this existential world. You understand? Without this form and mind as a vehicle, you cannot meditate and connect to your true mind. You can follow? Then he talked about the Arahant, without flow. And the Arahant, which has gone further, the Bodhisattva way, and finally realize the enlightenment, Nibbana, which is without outflow, and very advanced stage of Bodhisattvahood. All this can be accomplished when there is understanding. The understanding is, if you are just an ordinary sainthood way that realize the four stages of sainthood enlightenment, from first stage of sainthood, Sotapan, and Sakadagami, then Anagami, then finally Arahant. Arahant means no more ignorant, no more rebirth consciousness. You will not be born again. I won't say won't be reborn again. The correct word should be you won't be reborn ignorant again. Understand that? With avijja, with ignorant conditioning rebirth consciousness, no more. But if you go the Bodhisattva way, then the Arahant can have rebirth through the vows, through the aspiration, through the pure consciousness, which is love and compassion. And that is possible. But most Arahant, they will have outflow. Outflow in the sense that they have ceased birth and death of the segmented life. You know what is a segmented life, huh? Like this body, form and mind, every life we come, this segment, the rebirth consciousness, no more. We are his and Arahant. No more ignorant, cease. No more rebirth, ignorant. No more form and mind. So, birth and death of the segmented life, the Arahant already gone beyond, cease. No more. But the Arahant has outflow, the meaning is, the birth and death of the thought process has not ended. You understand? That is the outflow. And this outflow is not a problem for the Arahant, because they got no more ignorant. So at the death consciousness, there is no more ignorant to condition rebirth consciousness. So the outflow is not a problem for them. But they will use this mind, the mundane mind, the conditioned arousing mind, the thought with outflow. But they don't have the pure consciousness. Unless they go into cessation. When they go into cessation, the pure consciousness also sees there is nothing. But they will know what that Nibbana is, the form and mind that is connected, will know. That you will know without the slightest doubt what this form and mind is, what that nature is, except it cannot have further understanding beyond that, because they have not perfected the Buddha's way or the Bodhisattva way to fulfill the 10 perfection to become a Sammasambuddha. So because of that, the Arahant stopped there. No more continuation. What made me ask is, without outflow, you must cultivate beyond the Arahant way, the Bodhisattva way, for quite a long time, until you can connect to your true mind, then realize the true mind very, very clearly. You remember under the 5 stages of Bohi mind development, yeah? The first stage is just plant the seed of Bohi to walk this way, take the vow, everything. Yeah? Then the second stage is to severe and endure all affliction, so that you can do this work. Then the third stage of Bohi mind development is to connect to the true mind. And that one you have to do. When you can really connect to the true mind and develop the internal higher cultivation where it can transform your physical and mental internally, the opening of the chakra through trust, we call it the trust, the force support. Then the yin-yang energy melt in and become pure energy and transform the physical internally. Then the vibration becomes so fine, the wisdom energy becomes so fine, because after it goes in and transform, the direct seeing all become different, completely different. Then this wisdom energy, which is so fine, will cause the mundane mind to collapse. That's why when the mundane mind collapses, there is no outflow. And that's how the Arahantship, or not to say Arahantship, the Nibbana without outflow is completely different. Then for the being that has this condition and ability to realize this cessation of the mundane mind or the collapse of the mundane mind, the pure awareness that nature shines forth. Then when it shines forth, is what Mimi trying to understand. She thought, every time you must return to the pure awareness so that no production. There is no such thing. You cannot stay there. We are like I say, that pure awareness, you cannot come out. Understand? No? Well, you got no thought, no content. It's not an entity, it's not a being, it's not something that can come out and live life. It's just that nature inside there. Even though it cannot come out and live life, it's not a being, but it can give rise to the direct seeing. That is the one you have to understand. And that is the one that meditate. That's like the triangle, remember? The sea up there, the pure consciousness. That is the one that meditate. That one, through the direct seeing, you develop the wisdom, the understanding, and use that to live. Then this form of mind become beautiful. But the non-production that she was trying to understand is, you have to go through the training, perfection and cultivation until you develop that type of third phase or third stage of Bohi mind development, until you connect clearly to your true mind, then develop the internal cultivation, the transformation, until the wisdom, the vibration level is so fine, the mundane mind collapse. And when the mundane mind collapse, the true nature shine forth, the supramundane mind arise. And this is the mind you use to live life. No longer have the mundane mind. And this is the one that is always in the state of non-production. Do you understand? This is no cultivation anymore. It's already like that. That's why from there, like I used to tell you all, I may be sharing, speaking, saying all this, but inside no movement, nothing. That nature just manifests. That's why from the void, everything come out. Like the drum, remember? Yeah? When it's at the correct tension, the moment you strike, what happens? the vibration that come out is very fine, very small. No dong 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 dong. Don't have such sound. Let that come out. Yeah, that is the nature. That's why when you speak direct from the nature, it's completely different from acting according to memory, from the thought and all those things. So I really rejoice. We should sadhu Mimi for the good question. Without condition, this can never arise. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And my nature rejoice because there are people who can understand until such level. It's not easy. And as I have predicted in the book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, the Kayanamita force will move very fast. Initially, it's like my nature knew it will move. Then it starts to move, really starts to move. A lot of things happen. Then the time was year by year, I say it will be different. Then later on, this nature come to realize it's month by month, no more year by year. Then as I wrote inside there, later on it will be day by day. Then moment to moment, Kayamita's nature will transform. And this is the era where everything is possible. That's why you have the faith, the sincerity and the perseverance. You don't look down upon yourself. You ask yourself one question, like the coming book that I wrote, the Platform Sutta, the transcript going to come out. I just finished the editing. Then the spelling check. It talks about Huining. Huining is an illiterate. He didn't even go to school. He didn't even have any formal meditation or any education. Then how come he can become the sixth patriarch and he can have such profound understanding? That's why never underestimate yourself. Never tell yourself, "Ayo, Ratio, not for me. I didn't even have a proper education." Some maybe they will think, "I didn't even manage to go into uni." Nothing to do with education. It's your heart. If your heart is sincere, if you have faith, you just do. All the advice given in that book is enough for you, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. Initially, the Heart Sutta, the essential Dhamma are there. I already explained, you don't need any more. Everything that I share and teach is there. But the essential Dhamma is just for the sainthood way. And little is taught about the Bodhisattva Way, even though the teaching is the Heart Sutta. But the Bodhisattva Way came after the year 2014. Towards the end, where many Kayamita wrote to me, then Hui Rong and many other Kayamita request for the higher teaching, the Diamond Sutta and all those things. That's how all these conditions come about. Then all these fall into place. Yeah. And the website also came out of the blue. Nobody really, even me, myself, also were caught by surprise. When it came, it just came. Within, like Ng Bee said, 3 weeks, the whole website was uploaded and all the material were ready. Then we should thank all the committee members who help out, especially Chin Hao, Brother Tiong, Sui An, the friend, the KL Lao. We should thank him. That's why this particular 22nd of October next month, the gathering, we invited him and the wife as our guest of honor to thank him for helping us to build up the website. And we have officially invited them. So I hope with all this, you all can have the faith, the understanding, and make use of whatever that is available to move. Do not doubt anymore. Everyone can move during the sasana. And you can be unique when you have this understanding and this teaching. Okay, we better end. Otherwise, we will not end. Sorry for taking 6 minutes extra of your time. Okay, we'll do the sharing of merits, transfer of merit, then we end. Akasata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu loka sasana. itta watta chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sappa sampatti siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sugita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sugita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo ibina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Okay, then the end. Before I forget, I think Elsie is supposed to nominate the next Tuesday class, Achan or teacher. We let you have the choice. I heard you want to nominate Alicia. So it will be good. Don't worry. So confirm, Alicia. You can... Oh, Freddie will help if he wants to. Don't worry. What is more important is next week I will continue from the text. So you save 1 week. You got 2 weeks to prepare. We break for 1 week. So after that, still got 1 week rest. After that, only the next following Tuesday class. Then only she present. I also don't know what chapter it is after that. Okay, so you can have your food.